talk a lot about safety here on Breakfast, and I'm very intrigued to talk about two people who are, I suppose, the custodians of safety that is probably the best representative of doing it right in our province at the moment. I'm joined in studio. Thank you so much for joining us, gentlemen. Mo Hendricks is the Safety and Security Manager of Cape Town CCID. Thank you very much for joining
us.
Good morning. Thank you very much
for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Of course. And Derek Bok is the COO of Voortrekker Road Corridor Improvement District. Thank you for joining us, Derek.
Thank you.
First and foremost, I saw you nodding when I asked if you've taken a gravel route between Joburg and Cape Town.
Yes, that's true. I actually did it 2 years ago, and over December, January, I travelled to the Eastern Cape.
Fantastic.
To East London, and I took the gravel roads there as well. It's amazing. It's beautiful. And get lost.
I can only imagine, and absolutely a scenic. All right, so that's fantastic to know. However, in our CBDs, we are faced with not as scenic situations.
Yeah.
One of the things that we tend to associate with the likes of the improvement districts, of course, is the notion of keeping residents safe, being able to operate your business very well, having visible crime hotspots, and importantly, visible policing. As successful operators of this, can you let us know what you attribute to that success? Mo, we can start with you.
Well, thank you. I think, you know, it's all about the space and beautifying the space and identifying what the space requires. And I think it's not just about safety and security that improves the area. Mm-hmm. I mean, you mentioned about the scenic. I don't know when you've been in Cape Town to see the actual scenes. And mm-hmm. next time you're walking around, look up, see the beauty in the buildings and the architecture. It's actually fantastic. Our building owners, our stakeholders, they actually come to the party by improving their buildings all the time. So, you know, it's like if you go into an area where the windows are broken, the area is dirty and uncut, you just get this uneasy feeling, this feeling of not being safe. But if you walk into an area, it's pristine, it's beautiful, the grass is cut, it's well manicured, your perception changes. So, I mean, nobody knows what the crime sets really are. So it's more about dealing with the perception of people, how you empower those. And definitely, you know, as I said, we holistically look at it. You know, what the character of the area is, what the complaints, what the crime sets of the area. And then we look at what it requires from visible policing to urban management, because we manage the spaces between the buildings.
Indeed.
From cleaning to social development, because a lot of the issues are not solved by policing, but solved by social integration strategies. And then communication as well, by promoting that area. So all of those things culminate into making that area actually better and safer.
So, okay, that's very important stuff, the social intervention. I think we do speak about CSID quite often on Cape Talk, but possibly not as much about Voortrekker Road Corridor Improvement. A couple stats here. Your cleaning team collected over 400,000 kilograms of rubbish, and more litter was also picked up by Mold and Power Servers, an NGO partner that you work with. You've issued 2,721 traffic fines, which I imagine not only is a great revenue collection aid,
for
but
the
of
city.
Course,
for
the, yeah,
for the
fair
city.
Enough, okay. But certainly highlights how in law enforcement helps, and you've got a number of social upliftment projects that also saw food parcel distribution. Would you suggest that these are also all these contributing factors, as Mo says, like the beautification, the support socially of the region that help?
No, definitely. I agree 100% with Mo. You know, the Belleville Parow area where the Voortrekker Road Corridor Improvement District is situated, I mean, it's a different animal, as I call it.
Mm.
It's the CY. Come to Belleville and CY, as people always say.
Yes.
I was actually thinking about it this morning. The people in Belleville and Parow are extremely proud of that area. Belleville Parow will never become a central city, will never become a Claremont. It's a different vibe out there. But it's important, as Mo says, you know, it's not about only safety and security, feet on the ground. What do we do with the 500-odd homeless within the Belleville Parow area? You know, we have to deal with that. You can't just chase that person away, because he doesn't have a place to stay. And people, yes, granted, some of the homeless are definitely involved in crime.
Yeah.
And that's where the safety security comes in. But it's a holistic approach. Safety, security, and social upliftment. Very important.
Yeah. I mean, there's often a commonly held view that the poorer the people are, or the homeless people are who are around, the more likely that you're going to have bad activity. And then as a corollary, Mo, in your area, for example, there's also a widely held, and it may be incorrect, please correct me if I'm wrong, that if we can clear the space of the poor, if we can clear the space, price them out of being able to live here, price out the homeless and put stokes up on underneath bridges so they can't sleep here, that it'll be a prettier place.
I don't think that's incorrect. And yes, maybe all the homeless people are not involved in crime, but it definitely contributes to social decay. I mean, drinking in public, littering, urinating, all of those things.
I can tell you many Russian billionaires who do that.
Well, I agree with you.
Yeah.
And this is why I want to stress also, and I have to say to what Derek also said, is that I, funny enough, I live out in the Paro area for the last 10, 12 years now, and I've seen the improvements on that area. But coming back to the social issues and the living and stuff like that, you know, it's we also, as I said, we don't think the correct way is to police it away. We believe that you cannot police away poverty.
Mm.
We also don't target specific people.
Okay.
And a lot of people say, yes, home, the laws are aimed at targeting people.
It feels that way.
But we target behavior.
Yeah.
And I'll use an example as what I just mentioned about urinating in public. Do you know I have more stats where we've issued fines or taken action against people for urinating in public from rich, affluent people who come out of clubs than what we do against homeless people?
Right.
So the we don't just target people, we target behavior. And I'm going to give some good examples of what we've done. Like, we had a complaint along Long Street, and I'm sure this has come up before, aggressive begging, causing many hassles. So what we did is, you can't keep on arresting people and finding people for, you know, trying to maybe get some money for food. So what we did is, we, myself and a guy from, I think he's regular on your show as well, Ed from Fork Restaurant, we pounded the streets. We walked, we went to every business along the street, Ed and myself, and we said, come on guys, let's do something. We collected money. The SID contributes a substantial amount towards it as well, and it's about 29 businesses now that all contribute towards actually giving these guys a job. So we took the 8 repeat offenders who were the biggest problem. We actually give them a job, but it's not just a job. We actually work through an NGO as expertise in this. So they counsel them, they train them, they try and reintegrate them back into society, get them off the streets, get them into shelters. And then, so these guys come out every day. They have counselors that work with them. They wash the windows of the businesses, clean the pillars, clean the pavements. So they contribute
positively. And they've consistently
stayed
in those roles.
And they consistently stayed there.
Okay.
So we're now moving them on to second phase, where we're going to look at getting them permanent jobs at cleaning firms. So that will open the door for 8 new people to join that project. And also getting them into shelters, into first and second phase accommodation. So that's how you turn the tide around against crime, not by just chucking people in jail.
So SIDs are very localized, focused spaces. And so it seems as though what you're saying is localized and focused interventions are what are needed, not some sort of blanket policy decision. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's true, because, you know, a SID has a specific boundary. And everyone in that boundary, like in Greenpoint, you've got a CID as well, Greenpoint. In that boundary, the people, the businesses pay that additional CID levy. So we've got to spend, the city has policies in place that we have to spend that money, which is right. But I mean, you know, social intervention, in my case, out in Paro Bellville, we have the old saying, just across the railway line, we have very poor areas, Bellville South, and Mo, you know, he knows those areas as well.
Yeah.
Netrecht, it's, and poverty is, it's unbelievable. I'm actually getting shivering thinking of the poverty over there. And those people come into Bellville, Paro CBDs to beg. So our social team, very active on the ground, my social development manager and her 3 field workers, is to talk to the parents of these kids that come into town and say, listen, yeah, you have to look after your kids. They have to go to school. I mean, my SID is, we're actually transporting kids from that area to Salesians around the corner on a daily basis, because those kids are my area. Either we do that or they will beg. In my area, so it's a whole system, and we work very close in cooperation with the city of Cape Town with their social workers. Very important, and I think I have to mention this, and Mo will agree with me, is many people out there think that SIDs are our savior. Remember, SIDs are only a top up service.
Right.
The primary is still the city of Cape Town and SAPS. We only provide top-up services. That is very important.
I want to talk about SAPS's role after the traffic, but go ahead, Mo. You wanted to make a point?
Yeah, I wanted to say that, you know, coming back to your original point about specific needs for specific areas, And definitely, I think that every SID will have different needs. I mean, like the SID in Muizenberg, their needs will be completely different to the SID in Cape Town. And this is why we do thorough audits of the area, you know, capturing and recording all things that happen. We have systems that every phone call, every incident, everything that we pick up actually gets recorded and gets plotted on a category, and we map them out so we see exactly what's happening, where in our areas, and we can actually then put the correct countermeasures in to deal with those sort of issues.
All right. Well, we'll continue with the discussion shortly. If you're just joining us, Safety and Security Manager of Cape Town SID, Mo, excuse me, Hendricks is with me in studio with Derek Bock, excuse me, COO of the Voortrekker Road.
You're with Cape Talk.
This is Refilo Emoloto on Breakfast.
Welcome back to it. We continue with our panel discussion. We are in studio with Mo Hendricks. He is the Safety and Security Head of Cape Town CCID. And we've also got Derek Bock, who is the Chief Operations Officer of Voortrekker Road Corridor Improvement District. Thank you, gentlemen, again for joining us. First of all, some wonderful news, wonderful messages coming through from you. Please continue to send your messages and questions. A WhatsApp here from Dave Bryant, ward councillor, saying Mo and his team do superb work and we have a fantastic working relationship with them on many projects. These partnerships are essential for CBDs to thrive.
Most definitely. I mean, I can vouch for that. I actually sit on his ward forum as well. So we decide, well, he takes our input into where the money should be spent, which I think is fantastic. So it's actually going where it's needed.
Right.
I mean, the city is my biggest partner. I work with the law enforcement. I work with Cape Town Tourism. I work with the social department, many departments within the city itself. They are our biggest partner. I mean, a simple example is like Cape Town Tourism. Instead of, becoming victims of crime, we actually go out and we focus on the tourism and how we can improve the safety on tourism. I did presentations to Airbnb, the company, and all the hosts, so the host actually can educate the people that stay in their buildings. I've met with tour operators that bring tourists to the city, and we educate them so they train the tourists on how not to become victims of crime.
So this is very important insofar as you were saying before the break, Derek, that it's just a top of, well, sorry, I don't know which of you said it's a top of service, right? Yeah. So it comes down to the city first and foremost. I'd be very curious to hear from you. I mean, since I started at the station, that's one of the biggest things when we speak about safety that our listeners care about is, what about the tourists? I tend to say, what about the residents? But go ahead and tell me, with the tourists, what are some of the interventions that are there? I mean, for people who are walking on the mountain and not feeling safe. I know these aren't your areas. But what are some of the interventions that have to do with the SIDs, for example, that you help with beyond the Airbnbs and that apply to inner cities? I mean, one of our hosts was mugged and highlighted a couple of weeks ago in an interview that people get mugged regularly walking through town, who have to walk through town on a regular basis.
Well, from my side, you see, that this is where that difference comes in, where Derek won't have the sort of tourism impact that we have. So we've come up with different strategies. Again, the first one is education. What we've done is we've partnered up with National Tourism and an organization called TTBISA, the Tourism Institute, the Business Institute of South Africa, where National Tourism has sponsored every province a certain amount of tourism ambassadors.
Mm-hmm.
I put up my hand big time. I said, give me whatever you can. They've given me 20. I was hoping for 200. Let me just say, I'll take any manpower I can get. And I'll partner with whoever's willing to do something. We've taken those people, those 20 students. Now, you must remember, but they were unemployed. So now, instead of being looking for other avenues to earn money, they can actually get a job and promote our city. So what I've done is I've taken these 20 students under our wing. We've got a special unit that I deploy them at hotel entrances. So as the tourists leave, they are there to promote the city because they went on a month-long tourism course, intense course. And they promote the city, spots like Table Mountain, spots like the waterfront, wherever in the CBD. And then they also educate them on crime. Mm. Be careful. You know, don't flash your gold chain or
camera.
Be careful.
Camera is the big one. Yeah.
Or don't be caught up in the ATM fraud scam. You don't need a permit to walk in our streets. Yeah. And, you know, I met yesterday with one of the hotel managers. He says, Mo, I love it. You know, he says, before the festive season started, we had one or two incidences. Mm-hmm. During our whole festive season, not one guest complained about anything. And I love these guys. Don't take it away.
Excellent.
The good thing is, so not only did we create jobs, but we also prevented crime without having more policemen.
Right.
Then the second thing is, we have visible presence. I deploy 100 public safety officers every single day in the CBD. The city is my partner. We contract 20 law enforcement. So we have powers to enforce. And when you concentrate on those small laws and you try and inculcate a culture of law abidance, you minimize the big laws. You know, if you're too scared to commit a small offense, there's no way you're even going to think of committing a big offense.
I just want to ask Dirk, do you have some kind of similar law enforcement available in Voortrekker?
Yeah, we have. Once again, it's paid for by the all the CCIDs in Cape Town, or the SIDs in Cape Town. I don't have the budget that Mo and them have, because although we huge, I mean, it's Bellville and Paro CBD, we only started in 2012. Okay. My budget in 5 years' time will be what Mo and them have today.
Gotcha.
And we don't want to burden the taxpayer more, because I think we're all paying too much tax. And but yes, we have our own law enforcement officers that basically the SID pays for, or the ratepayers pay for. And we've also got a very good working relationship with Paro SAPS and Bellville SAPS.
Do the ratepayers include residents? Or is
in my area, it's only commercial.
Okay. So in the city?
No. In our, every property owner pays a levy, but there is a discount for residents. So if you're a resident in the CBD, you won't pay the same levy as a commercial property owner.
I have a question for you from a listener. Hugh is asking, hi, Rifula. I stay in the Paro area. This is for you specifically, Derek, I suppose. I'm not sure if this is maybe related. The number of homeless in our neighborhood has markedly increased the last few months, and subsequently the crime increased. By cleaning up the, quote, cleaning up Voortrekker corridor, I feel the homeless people have now fanned out to outlying areas. Do you think that's fair?
Look, that's an age-old statement, argument, and I don't think any CID, and I'm saying this as a person, can argue against that people, if they feel pressure in a certain area, criminals, they move to an area where they don't feel that pressure. I know of our homeless have moved across the R300 to Kales River, for example.
Sure.
But as it is, you know, you can't live on the streets. It's unsafe. That's the first thing.
Right.
But we will offer you a job. We will take you in right now. Either we'll take you home if you can't go home. I mean,
jobs are available?
We work through MESS, is that Mould Empower Serve. It's an NGO in our area where the SID actually subsidizes jobs. It's menial jobs. It's cleaning the streets, picking up litter. But at least, you know what? You work for 4 hours a day and you get paid for it. But you also have to go through a program via MESS, is on occupational therapy. And let's get you an ID. Let's get you a SASSA card if you qualify for a social grant.
Okay.
Where does your family stay? Actually, we do this on a regular basis with MESS. Is people come down for jobs, they get scammed and dropped at Bellville Station, which is sad.
Mm.
Pay from the Eastern Cape, from Northern Cape, is, you know what, wait here at Bellville Station.
Someone's going to pick you up.
Mr. X will pick you up and give you a job. And then the mom, usually woman, and baby sit there, and it's dangerous in that area. And then we start working with these people, and the SID actually pays for people to go back home, you know,
after we've established who you are,
that's the whole thing, and MESS works with them, and we actually, the SID actually pay, and I think in town as well,
we pay their bus. Family reunification.
Yes.
We transport to Pretoria, Joburg, all different places, but we do follow-ups. We make sure that we phone the families over there. Do you want them? Can they come back? Because sometimes maybe the family, for some reason, whatever, breakdown, don't want him back. I'll never forget a case where we found a young boy in Cape Town. Our teams, social teams, helped track his parents down. His mother cried. She hasn't seen her son in like 6 or 7 years. She thought he had died. Please send my son back to me. That was so heartwarming. Oh. And wow.
What about, so these are displacement issues. And what about people, I mean, we won't, I'm tempted to discuss the refugees, but I know that's not quite your area, right, Mo?
No. I think that's a little bit of above our pay grade.
Correct.
But
it's a different issue, considering that's a displacement from a different country. There are all kinds of political things there. But displacement in general, I mean, they're probably like an intensification of the issue I'm asking about. Like, what about the people who have legitimately come here for opportunity, and you're putting them on a bus and sending them back?
You see, that's the thing. If there is no opportunity, they get the choice. We don't force them. They ask us, I would love to go back home.
Okay.
We don't just send people back home for sending them home. They, at their request. But this brings me back to, I think, a previous discussion we had about the primary agencies. Now, Derek mentioned that we're not the primary agency, but we get seen as such because we're so visible, so active.
Right.
And to a large extent, we are the victims of our own success in that because we're so successful in our areas, the primary agencies have taken that resources there and put them in areas where we are not to capacitate those other areas.
Right.
So they've become less and less in those areas. And we've now... And as you mentioned it, you're asking us these questions, but where are social services?
Right.
I mean, that's a function of a social service department from on a national and provincial level.
Correct.
And also the city's also started a social department as well. And we go to the police and we can go to law enforcement and all of those things. And you'll see that in the improvement districts, we don't have those sort of deployments that other areas will have, like the Cape Flats and all of that. They're receiving all the attention. And we've taken this as far as we can. We've gone up to the mayor. I've personally taken the mayor on a walkabout of the city, daytime and nighttime.
Are you satisfied with...
To show them. No, he wasn't satisfied. He said, you know what? You are right. We need to start capacitating our CBDs. Because you must remember, we are the rate space. All the money generated, the jobs created in CBDs actually pay for those projects in other areas.
As well as nodes. Would you say the same? Very quickly, sorry, Derek.
No, it's the same because, you know, I've got exactly the same problem out in the northern areas of Bellville and Parow, is that if you look at our stats for the last year, I mean, for a SID to collect, I think 700,000 kilograms of litter, I always tell people, imagine if the CID wasn't there, 700,000 kilograms of litter will still be on the street.
Right.
So, and my board is asking big questions to the city of Cape Town and to the councillors and, you know, is where are you? City of Cape Town, where are you in these areas?
I think you speak with a united voice that's a conversation we need to take further with the city and social services as well. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining us in studio. It's been really eye-opening to understand a little bit more about how you operate your SIDs. That is Mo Hendricks, who is the Safety and Security Manager of Cape Town SID, and Derek Bock, who is the Chief Operations Officer of Voortrekker Road Corridor Improvement District. Continue to let us know your thoughts.